Okay, so I want to introduce my very dear friend Mark Harrell. Mark is one of our overseers. If you're not familiar with our church structure, we have elders that run the church, and then we have overseers that come in for events like this, or if there's trouble and we need help, we need some extra wisdom. And Mark has been on our overseer board from the very beginning, when we met years ago, and he's very instrumental in my life. So we have five of them. I'm closer to two of them. And one of them I'll call and I'll say, I've got this problem. And he says, listen, you got 40 acres. You can bury a body. And so then I call Mark. And Mark says, there's not a problem. Love can't solve, brother. So I like the other one better. But I take Mark's advice a lot more. Okay, so he's born and raised in New Roads, Louisiana. He majored in architecture at LSU. I was waiting for that. He transferred to Christ for the Nations in Dallas, where he met his wife, Jeanette. After graduation, Mark and Jeanette moved to Louisiana, where they went on board at Bethany World Prayer Center for 7 years. In 1990, the Lord called Mark and Jeanette to rural Somerset, Kentucky, to pioneer a church called Victory Christian Fellowship, VCF, where they were senior pastors until May 2022, where he's now still on staff and serving as a founding pastor. He has a heart for the community, missions, and Christian education. Pastor Mark has pioneered Christian school and statewide pastor's prayer focus. He also hosts monthly prayer gatherings for local pastors to promote unity. Pastor Mark and Jeanette have three adult sons, Andrew, his wife Adrian, Harold, Jonathan and Jasmine Harold, and then their third son, Michael, and his wife Alyssa Harold, and they now have nine grandchildren. So please welcome Mark Harrell.
Isn't he great? Isn't it fun? 25 years, that's no joke. I mean, that's amazing. And I know without a doubt who recommends that you go and bury a body. So he's a dear friend as well. Wow. Look around at someone and just say, it's good to see you today in the house of God. It's great having some of the dignitaries here in the city. What an honor, and I appreciate them being here and being a part, many of them even a part of the service on a regular basis, because this is family. 25 years, you're looking back, and look, when you go eat and fellowship, find different people and tell stories, something significant and even something funny, because funny carries significance as well. And if you have something real funny to tell on Jim, tell me, so I'll have that as arsenal later on when we meet. Where are we going from here? Have you thought about that? We want to stop and reflect, but we need to think, where are we going? And it's not dependent on just a husband and a wife leaving. It's dependent on all of you. Turn to someone and say, it's up to you. Now, Pastor Jim, he's going to be sharing vision and the leaders and different ones that speak on a regular basis, vision. But there's something you must do for the church to continue to go forward in a powerful way. So what I want to talk about today is carry the presence. Carry the presence. Can you say that with me? Carry the presence. There is no greater privilege than being a host of God Himself. You get to host God, and you get to go out and represent Him. It's a great responsibility. You know, everything about God is extreme. You know, Jim and I were in his office, and we were just talking. He said, you know, when God created this world, this spot right here, 40 acres, He knew a church would be planted right here. and you would be part of that church and part of the extension for the whole community. God is overwhelmingly good. He's awe-inspiring. He's powerful, and He's gentle and perfect while embracing us in the midst of our imperfections. Let me put it this way, embracing me in all of my imperfections. We all have them. Yet few are fully aware of the assignment to host Him. And I pray today, by the time we finish and we pray, you feel a greater weight to host the presence of God so you can go forward in the next 25 years and beyond. The idea of hosting God may even sound strange. But listen, He owns everything. He owns your life. He owns your body. Why not just turn it over to Him and say, Lord, I am your vessel. I'm going to host you and carry you well. I'm going to represent you well wherever you want me to go. What a privilege to bring heaven to earth by hosting the Lord wherever you go. It's a calling. It's a privilege. It's a responsibility. It's awe-inspiring, and yet it's fearful because we have great, great, great responsibility. Lord, teach me to host you well. Let me open in prayer. Father, help me to be a walking example of someone that's been transformed and continually being transformed wherever I go. I will constantly replay the ways your goodness has intervened in my life so that your nature will be constantly on my mind and that I realize I have something to do for you today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you brought your Bible, we're going to be mostly in the Old Testament. We'll tie it into Jesus. You always want to tie anything to Jesus and who He is. But we're going to be in Exodus 33 and Ezekiel 47. For the Bible scholars, if you brought your Bible, open your Bible or turn on your phone or at least open your eyelids, okay? Everybody open something, okay? Say that confession again. We are well able to carry the presence. Now, in this chapter, Moses is experiencing the presence of the Lord. It's wonderful. He's going out to the tent of meeting to do this. And he's actually talking to God face to face. Can you imagine having that privilege and that responsibility to talk to God in that way? And he had to go outside the camp to a tent. Moses loved this experience, but he had an issue to talk to God about. Anybody have an issue to talk to God about? Moses did, and he even made reference to him and Joseph and the things that they did. Let me start in Exodus 33. I'm going to start in verse 11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, Lord, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, anybody want to be pleasing to the Lord? Teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. Very often they would play ping pong with the people. Moses would be trying to give them back to God. God said, no, they're yours. Moses right here, he's referring, Lord, they're your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. I think that's one way to know that you're carrying the presence of the Lord. You have rest. Oh, but Mark, what about this issue and this in our world and this going on? His presence with you, you have rest. It's still there, but you carry rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go up with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? Very powerful verse right there. Extremely powerful. The issue, God, is not that we don't meet. We meet. I love it. This is, I've got to leave here and go out there and deal with life. I've got issues. I've got problems. I've got stuff. That's the word I use. Everybody say stuff. I've got stuff to deal with. I don't want to limit my interaction with you just here at this tent of meeting. I need you out there. Thank God for the sweet now, but I've got the ugly by and by out there, and I got to get out to it. I love this time of talking with you, worshiping you, but I got to go out there. I've got those people. For us, the similarity would be, I love church. Man, I love coming here and fellowshipping out in the foyer and getting coffee. And man, all that little food stuff looked good. I behaved. I didn't go over to it. But I mean, the interaction, the hugging, the community, the good reports you're sharing, the worship, the instrument, the teaching. I'm surrounded by family, building community. It's wonderful. But Monday is coming. And I've got work, and I've got school, and I've got bills, and I've got challenges to face. I need something to carry me out there. Moses is saying, I can't live here at the tent perpetually, continually. You've entrusted me with the responsibility. Whenever I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, God, you're not there. I got to come to this tent. Help me, Lord. And I think that's our cry most of the time. It's mine. Help me, Lord. When my children were small, we would always take turns with them praying. And Michael, the youngest, he's probably about 3 or 4, and it's his turn to pray. And we let them pray whatever they want. And when they start, we have to repeat what they say. So Michael, dramatic, he says Jesus in about 10 different inflections. You know, Jesus? Jesus, you know, we have to repeat it. And after about the 10th time, he looked up and he went, help, amen. And I said, well, that covers it all right there. It really covers our prayer in a way. Help. Moses is crying for help. I can't live at this tent perpetually. What am I going to do? Moses felt that way, and I feel that way sometimes. If we're honest, what a novice thought to think at church, right? Being honest. Do you ever feel that way? I need you, Lord. It's like spiritually we leak out. We just kind of leak. Or the presence from our time together starts to drop off, and then I face the different trials. Sometimes back we were remodeling in our church foyer. There was a room next to the foyer, and we wanted to make it very similar to your coffee bar and that type of deal. So we're going to knock out walls and build that right there. So we had some stuff in that room for storage. And we went in there. We have old CDs and some cassettes. Anybody know what a cassette is? We didn't have any 8-tracks, so take a deep breath. You were fine there. And we had papers and things we thought maybe we would need. And so the team arrived that was going to start construction and tearing out walls. I said, wait, let me take all this stuff and put it in office. Let me go through it because some of it we might want to archive or keep. So we did, and I kept maybe 2 or 3%. And we have a big cart that my wife has for the nursery. It has a top and a lower shelf and a big handle. Just see this as a representation of this. It's a little bit smaller, but it gets the point. So I'm going through things, and the stuff I'm going to keep, I'm putting over here. Everything else is going on this cart down below. I mean, it's overloaded, and I'm going to take it down to the dumpster because we don't need it anymore. Stuff that was valuable at one time that maybe carried some aspect of the presence of God in our, we didn't need that. So I load it up, and I'm going to the dumpster. I have to go down the hill, and, you know, an asphalt parking lot is kind of rough, and I'm just having a good day, and I'm dragging that going to the dumpster, and I get there, and I open the lid, start putting the stuff in. I look back, and I see our youth pastor, Ryan, coming, following my trail. He could go about 10 feet, and he'd pick up something else, and 10 feet, and pick something else up. And I realized, oh, my goodness, I wasn't paying any attention, and I dropped stuff all the way. All the way. And the Lord spoke to me right there. He said, yeah, it wasn't valuable to you. Wasn't valuable. Am I valuable to you? Yes, Lord, you're valuable. Well, why don't you carry me better? If something is valuable, it's in front of you. We have a new 7-week-old grandbaby. My kids don't do this with the baby. No, it's precious. What do you carry? Is it valuable? Is the Lord valuable? Are you aware of His presence in your life and He's just right there with you the whole way? My goodness. Back to Moses, verse 17. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you've asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. God says, you got it. My presence is going with you. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon different ones for an empowering moment. In the New Testament, He comes and wants to dwell within you. Oh my goodness, that's much better, folks. Much, much better. So hear me. We can carry His presence. Why do we need that? You need it for your life. You need it for the church because you're going somewhere. Please don't get settled. God has to extend your borders. I think we heard a word today about that. And sometimes that gets uncomfortable because it requires more from you, more sacrifice, more giving of your time, doing, helping, ministering, maybe just more of carrying His presence wherever you go so you're part of the answer. I want to be part of the answer. I love church, worship, teaching, community, all that God does in each of us at the tent of meeting in type, referring to the church. People have been forever changed at the tent of meeting. Let me ask, how many of you were saved or made a rededication here at New Life Church? Let me see your hand. Come on, look around, folks. Let's give these people a hand clap. Forever changed right here. I believe in God at the tent. Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not the assembling of the saints as the manner of some. What we experience today is absolutely necessary. But let me read a verse from Romans 12 out of the ESV translation. I love that translation. It's very accurate as well. And it says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your, what is it? Spiritual worship. Interesting. Not physical, but spiritual. Here's the challenge for us. We call our experience today worship. Please do. But do we call everything else we do worship? If I've obeyed this verse and dedicated my body to the Lord, I need to. See, we create an environment when there's music and, you know, we don't have a TV on or this or that. And okay, we can have an experience with God. And please do. Let it expand. Let that grow. It's wonderful. We expect that. Matthew tells us where two or three are gathered together in His name. Guess what? He's right there. We have an anticipation. We're believing for prayers to be answered. But listen, we are not dualistic people. We're not. We're not spiritual and then secular. Much worse, we're not spiritual and then carnal. That's called religion. A slide's going to come up. Worship is not merely something we do with music. It's something we do with sacrifice. And that's an extremely misunderstood word. Merely, really understood word. Let me give you an example. My oldest son and his wife, they're pastors in Louisville, Kentucky. And so they're about 2.5 hours away. Precious older couple in their lives kind of adopted them as their children as well, which I love because I love as many people speaking into their lives and my grandchildren. So my wife, the grandkids call her Grammy. She wanted goddess, but our sons did not fall for it. They call her Grammy. They call this lady in Louisville Granny. So whenever they're at the house, they go, Granny, they'll to show the difference in Grammy. So a year ago at Christmas, what she did for them as a gift, they all went ice skating at the ice skating rink there in Louisville. Lisa Marie, I mean, they're late 60s, athletic, she runs, everything. But about 20 years ago, she was thrown from a horse, had a hip injury, so her hip is just weak. And so they're just having a great time, and she made a turn and fell and broke her hip. Okay, worship, carrying His presence, spiritual worship, sacrifice. Now me, I would have been screaming and come on. Anybody else? She was determined not to put fear in my grandchildren. Grimacing with her teeth, they all got around. She said, hasn't this been fun? I can't wait till we get to do this again. She talked like that the whole time until EMS got there and brought her to the hospital. So my grandkids were at the house a few days later for Christmas. And I said, tell me about Granny and her fall. Oh, she's fine. She just tripped and she's going to be fine. She was determined to sacrifice so those children did not develop fear. I'm just giving you an illustration of how we misinterpret sacrifice. You see, many believers, good people, have conditioned themselves to think that this atmosphere, this is the only place something mighty can happen. And yes, absolutely, I need him in here because I desperately need him out there. Desperately need him out there. Our mayor desperately needs him day by day out there. All the people that are here today, you need him. And with Jesus in the center, I'm to be that type of living sacrifice, carrying his presence. Everything is filtered through that. Not just a Sunday morning safe environment type of sacrifice. So when Jesus is Lord of your life, you understand your assignment that everything is spiritual. And everything is a sacrifice. See, when I get a hold of that, the next 25 years of my life, thank you, Lord, there'll be increase. The next 25 years of this church and its life, there's going to be increase. Because you carry that. It's not up to just a few. You carry that. Everybody say, I carry that. Picture this. The presence of God can be hosted by a person so significantly that he actually lives through them. He lives through you. It doesn't cancel out who you are. It's capturing you to the fullest, really. Capturing you to the fullest. You're immersed in that divine influence. And it's through their personality then that the gifts of the Spirit flow, and there's a demeanor about you that just is expressing all that God is. And people are just drawn to you because they know, man, this dude is different. That lady over there, there's something about her. It's different. And favor takes over. When that happened to Gideon, who had been hiding, suddenly, bam, there's an infusion because he allowed that transformation in his life. So I want you to become the fullest version of yourself. The fullest version of yourself. Folks, when I was 12 years old, I stuttered. The teacher knew, don't call on Mark. He'd rather go to the principal's office and get a spanking than have to answer. And when God got a hold of my life and filled me with the Holy Spirit, he started making me face these things and fears and change my life. I couldn't say, I can't. Matter of fact, you can't say, I can't. Because you're moving your borders. Not just the rope that Jim did so his mom didn't realize how far he was going in the yard. Now, God's going to move your borders. How many of you, it's okay if God moves your borders and expands you? Let him do it. Be the fullest version of you. Who he wanted you to be when he knit you in your mother's womb. Let his presence fill you to the fullest so your true identity just shines. Then, listen, the smallest detail of your life is worship. The smallest detail. Jesus said in Matthew 10, if you give a cup of cold water to someone in my name, you've done it unto me. You're not going to lose your reward. Won't lose the reward. So church, let's take what we do here and what we do out there and realize we're to be building the kingdom of God. You do sacred work. It's sacred. What the team did up here today with worship and voice and instrument, it's no more holy than those of you that are in construction, are building swimming pools, are teaching kids, are in the medical field, whatever you do. That's if you dedicated your whole life to the Lord and you want to carry Him wherever you go. You're a representation carrying His presence. Oh my. But Mark, I ain't a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher. Well, I can't play an instrument. You don't have to play an instrument. But things, there are things you do that no one else can do. There are people you know that no one else knows. It just be available and carry Him wherever you go. One of my greatest joys as a pastor for 32 years birthing a church and transitioning to a spiritual son still there. He calls me dad. I call him son. And is when people come in and they say, let me tell you what the Lord did this week. Let me tell you the opportunity I had to be a witness or to pray with this person or lead someone to Christ. That, for our pastor, that's the greatest joy because that means they carried His presence with them wherever they went. And when you know God, you understand this principle. You understand. So pull your life, your whole life, into a kingdom of God mission. Your whole life. Oh, I can't wait to see what God does for the next 25 years. Well, are you part of it or are you just going to watch? Pull your whole life. That's worship. Oh, I can't wait for the Lord to do this or add this. Okay. See it by faith, back up to where you are and start progressing towards it. With the joy of the Lord as your strength, and it can happen. And what happens then as you do this, people who don't know the King experience the kingdom through your sacrifice, through you carrying something, something of Him, something of His nature. Man, and your sacrifice of praise, wanting to carry Him wherever you go. John 1, let me read verses 40 through 42. Look at this. It's very simple. Something happened to Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. One of the two who heard what John had said, he followed Jesus. So he's hearing this message of repentance and salvation. He hears something, okay? The very first thing Andrew did was hide his light under a bushel. Is that what he did? Oh, come on, church, help me out. What did he do? He went out. Hey, Simon, let me tell you what's happened to me. Let me talk to you about it. He carried the Lord in essence to him and he brought him to Jesus. First illustration of someone winning someone to Christ. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You would be called Cephas, which means translated Peter. And he was a rascal. But one of the most effective people we know are as far as one of the apostles. And the only way many will experience the kingdom like we've had a taste of in worship is if I believe I'm bringing the kingdom out there. Great book, The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. How many have read that book? Man, it'll bring a conviction. It'll bring a weight of I need to carry something powerfully. What you believe matters. If you believe your basketball team is always going to lose, you'd hate to disappoint yourself and actually win a game. What you believe matters. And when I believe God in His Word, I open the door to the kingdom. I'm unlocking and opening a door and inviting what I believe in. So it's very important. Jesus said in John 8, you will know the truth and the truth, what's going to do? Makes you free. Got to know it. And that truth. And the truth is, you carry His presence. Let's experience and expand our corporate worship, teaching, equipping. Let it grow. Let it expand. Small groups, the things the Lord lays on your heart that are going to be effective in outreach, go for it. Without limiting it to merely in here. What about it out there? Now, I love the pictures we saw. We saw some of the things that you did that were showing the community that you love them. Let it expand, but let it go from humanitarian to where then the gospel is presented as well. Amen? Wow. The Great Commission in Matthew 28. Surely I am with you. Not surely, but surely I am with you. Can you hear the heartbeat of God? Hey, I want you to disciple nations. And what I said to Moses in Exodus 33, I say to you, I'm with you. Wow. He's with us. And not just on us, in us. Okay, Ezekiel 47. Look at this metaphor before we close. I love this illustration. It brings it to light even more. Read the first 9 verses. The man brought me back to the entrance to the temple. Okay, so we've progressed. It's not a tent. It's not the tabernacle. We're all the way now into a temple. And I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple. It wasn't a bursted water line. It wasn't that, okay? Toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the altar, to the outer gate facing east, and the water was trickling from the south side. Everybody say trickling. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. Everybody say ankle deep. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits. I read that already. Next verse. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. Say knee deep. You see the progression going on. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was to the waist. Everybody say waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had been risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, son of man, do you see this? Okay, I say, family of God, do you understand what's going on here? He led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the Dead Sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish. Come on, people. From every tribe, tongue, and nation. Because this water flows there and makes the salty water fresh. In the Hebrew, that's the exact same word for healed. So where the river flows, everything will live. Verse 10. Fishermen will stand along the shore from Engedi to Eneglium, and there will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. Uh-oh, verse 11, though. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They're just going to be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on the banks of the river. I wish you knew my wife. She's hilarious. She said, Mark, I don't want a fruit tree. I want a chocolate tree, okay? Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because of the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. So Ezekiel says this water just starts out as a trickle and trickles out from under the sanctuary door, seeping out and moving out. And the further it gets deeper. Now, folks, that's not natural, right? Water dissipates. It finds its lowest place because of gravity. No, it's getting deeper. The seeping becomes a river from a trickle, seeping transformed to a river. So here's a question. What's the source of the river? I know. Yeah, everything's right, but I'm waiting for a certain word. Come on. Huh? Sanctuary. Give her a hand clap. Yes. It is. It flowed from the sanctuary. It's flowing from our worship, from the word, from our unity. Let's come to church not to complain. Let's come to connect and build. Shake off the world before you come in and just say, I'm here to love my family. I'm here to make new friends. I'm here to be a blessing. I'm here to help. I'm here to cause this church to go out in the waters to get deeper and deeper and deeper. And you heard all the cities that are surrounding here. When one of the people, I believe the commissioner, when she was up here, she named all the surrounding areas. I thought, yep, let it go there, let it go there, let it go there. Why not? Why not? It's flowing. It's flowing. If we allow it. But it's leaving the temple and going out and affecting an area. Let me put it this way. The greatest miracles, in essence, start here. But they should happen out there. And yes, we can carry the presence. Oh, the next 25 years, they're going to be awesome. From our yielded lives together as a living sacrifice, the seeping begins. Our yielded lives were sacrifice. Then it picks up momentum as it gets further away. But notice everyone who gets in that river that flows from the sanctuary, they get healed. But verse 11, But swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. The river's flowing. Now, I grew up in Louisiana. We still have family property there, and we have swamps on our property. We have about 190 acres in our family there. I want to bring up a picture. It's not a picture of our swamps, but that's a picture of swamps. You probably have some here in Texas, right? You got them around here. You don't go swimming in that, folks. That's where the snakes are and other little critters that you don't want to be near, okay? So I grew up around that. It's fun to go there to shoot snakes. Cypress trees grow. Beautiful kind of look at, but no. And Ezekiel depicts that those marshes, even though they receive the same water that's in the rivers, because they have no outlet, they don't heal anybody. Okay, question. Where does the water come from that ends up in the swamps? Say it loud. Sanctuary, same place. Next slide. In other words, the healing qualities of the river are in its movement, in its active life application and involvement. Not just in receiving or acknowledgement. See, we're receiving right now, acknowledgement. But let's not be, come on, Martha, church over, let's go. And if your name's Martha, I don't mean that as a, as an offense. Forgive me in advance. But some people, come on, we got to beat the Smiths to the restaurant. See you next Sunday. And we leak all the way to the car. And by the time we get to the restaurant, no one knows that we're carrying anything of God. I've been guilty of it. But if I'm aware that I'm a river and I'm carrying something, wow. Martha, let's go. Maybe the Lord's going to open a door for us to talk to someone. Hey, we need to go visit our neighbor that's been sick. Go bring him a pie and just go pray for him. That's what we're going to do. That's what a believing believer does. That's how they live. And people get healed. And anyone who eats from the leaves of the tree has the same manifestation as being in the river. Revelation says the leaves are for the healing of the nations. So why am I talking about these metaphors? They are in type true life examples. Do we take our experiences and worship and growth and community and everything that we enjoy in here, out there, and carry it. Carry it tomorrow. Carry it later today. Or do we just leak? Your highlight is out there. Oh my goodness, God wants people saved. Do you carry that? The nations reached. Lives transformed. God's presence in here, God's presence continually transforming our lives. We're all a work in progress. You have not arrived. I have not arrived. I have not. Even Brother Jim has not arrived. Getting close. We've not arrived. Let His Word be your sure foundation and go and recognize moments. Lord, give me eyes to see, ears to hear as I go out into the highways and hedges of life. Don't minimize what's going on in here. Let it grow, but let the seeping expand. Whatever you do on Monday, maybe that crazy prophet Ezekiel got you stirred up. You know, I believe His presence is with me. Something could happen today. Now, let me give you a hint how to do this. We're almost finished. Anybody in real estate in here? Raise your hand. Anybody? No? Okay. What? Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't see you. Okay. What are the three laws of real estate? I'm sorry. I'm putting you on the spot. Huh? Say it loud. That's it. Say it. Location, location, location. Give her a hand clap. That's great. Okay, I'm going to give you the three laws of relationship with impact that have lasting value. You say, well, Mark, I don't know how to do this. You ready? Observation, observation, observation. Eyes to see, ears to hear, gifts of the Spirit operating, compassion flowing from your heart. It's very simple. You just step into it. I'm a river. Streams are flowing out from me. Well, I'm disguised as a construction worker or a teacher or someone in the medical field, but I'm a river. Ready to flow. His presence is with me. You might not even have to say much. I mean, you're just so full of His presence and carrying Him. You just walk by and people go, they're receiving strength from your root system, just like those trees were along the riverbank. His presence will make you relevant. Not your knowledge. Presence. So this is not a message. This is a commissioning. This is a commissioning for everyone here today. Well, what did Jesus have to say about this, Mark? Well, let me tell you in John 7, verse 38 and 39. I believe that'll come up. Believe in me. Does anyone believe in Jesus? So that what? Rivers of living water will burst out from within you. See, Moses just had to come on him. Within you. Flowing from your innermost being, just like the Scripture says. Now, Jesus was prophesying about the Holy Spirit that believers were being prepared to receive. He's been sent. The Holy Spirit has been sent. At that point, the Holy Spirit had not yet been poured out upon them because Jesus had not yet been unveiled in His full splendor. Moses carried presence. You carry presence. Being filled with the Spirit is more than pointing to an experience that happened so many months or years ago. It's really not measured by what I contain, but what I allow to flow through me. Next slide. Only in the continual overflow of His presence through our lives are we truly full of the Holy Spirit. And it's in that condition that we're most likely be able to bring others into encounter with God. Let me read a verse from the Passion Translation. It's a paraphrase, Psalm 16:8. Because you are close to me and always available. Are you available? My confidence will never be shaken, for I experience your wraparound presence. Every moment. Here's the truth. We're always releasing the reality of the world we're most aware of. What do you release? Can I have the worship team come back up or part of the worship team? So you're releasing something or you're leaking. God's trying to fill you up and you just, by the time you hit the door, you got problems overwhelming you. You've got this going on and are you, wait. I'm a river. I've got opportunity. Lord, I'm going to carry you delicately. Thank you, Lord, for doing it. Lord, that coworker that's so hard to get along with, give me wisdom to have breakthrough in their life. My son, my daughter who's wayward, Father, help me to know exactly how to be that example to them. The things that weigh you down, that are trying to control your emotions, Lord, I'm going to carry you. I'm not going to allow that to dictate to my life. So I thank you, Lord. I'm going to carry your presence. Let me ask you a question. How many accept that commission to be someone changed and representing the Lord and the body of Christ in such a way that people want to drink from your life? You want that. You want that in your life. Okay? Thank you. Thank you. Can we all stand? Let me lead us in a prayer. Let's just take it as a challenge from God. Oh, the next 25 years. How awesome. Have fun when we meet in a minute to eat. Tell stories. Share breakthroughs. Talk about a miracle. But carry His presence and say, hey, let's allow God to do even more. Let me pray. Pray with me right now. Holy Spirit, say it out loud. Holy Spirit, I need a fresh encounter with you today. I do not want to move forward with a stale experience or limited understanding. I want to be an open conduit of your presence so you can flow through me. I want to carry you wherever I go. I am well able. I am well able to carry your presence and be used by you. So I accept that challenge to grow and be that example in Jesus' name. Just with your head still bowed for a few moments, maybe there's someone here today, you don't know the Lord in a saving way, you're not saved, you're not born again, whatever term we want to use. Or maybe you've allowed your relationship and the stuff of life to just cause that whole relationship to simmer down and it's not active anymore. That's you, and you won't need to just lead in prayer from right here. It won't make you come down or anything, but that's you. Raise your hand, and I know that you're here today. You want to get your life right with God. You want to get your life right. Anybody, just put it up, wave at me a little bit. Anyone. Don't want you to miss this opportunity, okay? Yes. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Anyone else? I'm going to ask Pastor Jim to come up and lead that prayer and to guide us forward from here.
Thank you, Lord, that you no longer dwell in temples or houses made by hands, but that you dwell within us, your church, your body. Lord, I thank you for this sister that raised her hand right now, Lord, and that you have come to her, Lord, and she has given her life to you. We're in repentance of sin and taking on new life. And Lord, I ask that you would fill her right now with your Spirit. And that every one of us in here, if you would, just raise your hand up as a sign of being receptive. Every one of us in here, fill us with your Spirit today. And as Pastor Mark shared, flow from us. We don't want to become stagnant. We don't want to become murky, ugly waters. but we want to be a river flowing. And so, Lord, help us to carry you as we go from this place. Lord, help us for the next 25 years and beyond that to carry you into Denton County. Lord, as this area begins to grow and houses begin to pop up and new roads begin to appear and younger and smarter pastors are hired, that we would carry your presence to Denton County and beyond into your world. We love you, Lord. We're grateful today. Like Moses told us, we look back, we're encouraged, and so now we're looking forward. And we ask that you take us into the promised land in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so guess what? We've got Metzler's barbecue. And lots of it. So there are two lines. And so if the Lord leads you, we may need some help. So you might just keep an eye out and see if we need extra servers. Thank you to all of those that came to honor us today. We appreciate that. Would you give them a hand? And for Pastor Mark's encouragement to me all of these years and for coming down today to be a part of this, we appreciate that. All right. If you need prayer, I'll be here. But I won't pray too long because I want some barbecue. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Go and carry him into the city. Thank you.